We have a few things going on today. Obviously, you know about the hymn sing that's going to be happening this afternoon for 3 to 5. The lunch afterward, if you're staying for that. But we also have another event that's going to happen after the conclusion of the sermon, which is called a baptism. We have at least one of our youth that is going to be dedicating their lives to the Lord in our presence on this morning. And so hopefully a few more. There are a couple of feelers out there. And so I'm going to try to shorten this sermon. It seemed like the front half end of the sermon kind of service kind of went a little long, so I'm going to try to make up a little bit on the back end. And I've asked them to kind of shorten things so we can do this together. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn me to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. Jonah 1, 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you once again for your word and for this time to be able to look at your word. I pray that this message may be able to instruct us and may be able to see the things that you need us to see, and that we might be able to hear the things we need to hear, and then that you might give us the energy and the strength to be able to do the things that you would desire us to do. Bless this time together, Lord. Bless your word. Bless each of us and help us in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this "Making a Successful Turnaround," and I'm sure many of you already knowing the book of Jonah, probably, already know what that entails a little bit. But for some of you who may not know the story of Jonah, I'm going to just kind of recap it really quick. Jonah is called by God to Nineveh. Nineveh were a people, hated people. And he's called to go preach to them and encourage them and call them to repentance. And he goes, instead of going to go do the will of God, instead he decides, I'm going to do something completely different. And I'm going to go the exact opposite way. And instead of going anywhere near where God said go, I'm going to go the opposite way and find me a ship going to Tarshish. Well, he gets on this boat going to Tarshish in the opposite direction. This great storm arises and threatens not only himself, but everyone else who's on the boat also. And they start trying to figure out, why is God mad at us all? Why? What's happening here? And how can we fix this situation? And finally, Jonah, who was fast asleep, is woken up. And, you know, they're asking, call on your God. Let's call on all the gods. We're all going to die here. And Jonah makes this great confession. Hey, guys, I think it's because of me. Just throw me in the water. You guys will be all right. And you know, he didn't know exactly what God was going to do. But they threw him overboard, and here God came up and gave him this great fish. You know, I want to say whale, but it's fish, a great fish that swallowed Jonah up, and Jonah was in his belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And finally, he spit up on dry ground. After his moment inside the belly of this fish, Jonah prays and he repents and he recognizes the errors that caused him to get there and to go in the wrong direction. And the fish spits him out And he goes and preaches, and he has the biggest revival meeting ever. He changes everyone in the city. They all repent, and story, happily ever after. No, he's miserable with the fact that his hated people, now God has shown his mercy upon them. So yeah, that's our story for today. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Jonah's flight from God's call. This is really, I came here to talk to launch pad from Jonah. You know, that's why I give you the quick summary of the story. This is a story that is influenced. This is a message that is influenced by Jonah, but really is about us. Right? It's not much of the Bible anyway. We have these stories, and many times we see the story of David and the story of the, but that's their story, and we can gain something from it. And it's the same thing with Jonah. This is Jonah's story that we can gain from. Why? Jonah's decision to flee from God's call symbolically represents our own inclinations to go in the wrong direction. Here's God saying, here's what I want. You know how, as parents, here's what I want. And for some reason, the kid thinks they must not mean anything that they just said at all. Yeah, they're crazy. And so we're going to do the exact opposite. And I don't know if you found yourself in that place before. I know I have, and I can share many stories with you at any time, maybe on tonight, today, as we're eating and talking. But I'm sure many of you have those same type of stories where you've gone in the wrong direction and it took something to shake you up a little bit and get you moving back in the right direction. Amen. Well, let's look at Jonah for a little bit and then look at ourselves. You know, one of the things when you're headed in the complete wrong direction is, first of all, recognizing that we're going the wrong way. You know, sometimes you may just get in the car and go out for a drive and have no idea where you're going. That happens every now and then. But most of the time, you have an idea of where you're going. And when you get lost, there's a place you intended to go, and you were trying to get there. You just what? Just navigated the wrong way. You made the wrong turn. Somehow you find yourself lost. And all of that. And there's a moment where you think, man, everything is good, everything is fine. And then there's the moment when we were driving back from Atlanta. We went down to my grandmother's funeral, and I'm driving back. Your brother was driving. Alex, his brother, was driving. And we're both driving, taking turns driving back from the funeral, and we're coming back up to Delaware, and all of a sudden, welcome to West Virginia. I had never been in West Virginia until that moment. I saw the sign that said, welcome to West Virginia, and I had no idea I was going to West Virginia because I wasn't trying to go to West Virginia. I was trying to come back home to Delaware. But it was at that moment I realized I was lost. And the first thing I did when I realized I was lost was pull over. And this was pre-Waze and all that. And the map, y'all remember the map? Yeah. First of all, I had to pull up the regular map because my MapQuest directions were wrong. Oh, some of y'all understand that. Some of y'all understand MapQuest. MapQuest sometimes got you generally in the area, but not exactly specifically to where you wanted to go, you know? All right, some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. But here's the key. There's a moment you're lost, you don't realize you're lost, and then there's a moment that you recognize, what? This is strange and unfamiliar territory that has no, you know, that is not going to help me to get to where I'm trying to get to, right? And it's at that moment, what do you do? What do most people do? They do what I just did, right? Pull out the map, recalibrate, where am I, where do I need to go, make a new decision on how to get to your destination, right? How many of you just continue to drive in the same direction? Eventually we'll get there. If I just stay on this same road that's going in an exact opposite way, I think eventually he probably does. If everything is circle, eventually. All right. There is a way that leads, that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. You know, I was thinking about this point, I'm thinking about this young boy that we talk about a lot, that left his father's house. And remember, when he leaves his father's house, he's got a lot of money in his pockets, and he goes to his far country, and he spends all this money in this faraway country, and now he's broke, and now he thought he knew, he had the resources, he thought he had the smarts, and he went with an intent to go to this faraway country, and he gets there, and then he realizes, I'm lost. What am I doing here? How did I get here? Those in my father's house, they got food and plenty. Those in my father's house, but I'm lost. And then you remember the story says that he came to himself. This is that moment we're talking about right here. This is the moment that you realize that you're lost, because a lot of times we were suppressing it. A lot of times we were masking it. A lot of times we were pretending that everything is fine, but you're still lost, but you're just pretending like everything is great and wonderful and all of that. And then there's that moment of clarity. And the text says that he came to himself. It's like almost like the light bulb came on. And he goes, I'm lost, and I think I know what to do. And it involved returning to Father. And look, a lot of these messages, they're basically the lot of same things as far as when you come back to repentance and all that. You've erred. You got to recognize it. You got to come back. Now, we got a lot of different examples. We got a lot of different ways to show it, a lot of different ways to tell it. We can look at David and his example. I mean, we can look at Jonah. So many things, but really the main person that we need to be dealing with this morning is sitting right in your same seat, warming exactly the spots that you're currently sitting in right now. And it's our moments, it's these moments that are special that we need to look for. Lord, am I in your will? Am I in your will? And sometimes it's hard to do that because of this next slide. Admitting our struggles, the challenge of admitting that we're having problems. See, pride, fear, judgment. All of these stop us, inhibit us from allowing us to just say, hey, man, I'm struggling and I need some help. Can you help me? Can you help me? I mean, I've been doing it by myself, been running by myself, been all by myself. I think I had it and all that. But now all of a sudden I recognize I'm lost. I'm lost, and I got to do something. And I recognize that the very first step is, obviously I've recognized already that was the first step, but to return to him, to look back to God, to return him, to recognize that I need help, and obviously I need help that's beyond the help I can give myself. Self-help, right? Self-help can help you in certain areas. It only gets you so far, though, because you're capped at your ability. You're capped at your ability. But when we go to God, come on, y'all can fill in the rest. All right? He's not capped. We run to him. We run back to God. We run to him, and we recognize how big he is. As we're looking up, we're looking and see how big he is. And at the same time we're looking how big he is, I'm recognizing how small I am and how dependent I am upon him, how much I need him in order for that energy to flow and for me to grow and to develop and to become the man I need to be. I need to be connected with him. I need him to provide for me and to bless me and to lead me. And I need to make myself small and recognize my smallness in his sight. I put a question on the bottom of this. I wonder who Jonah spoke to as he was being challenged to go to Nineveh and preach. And I wonder what advice they gave him. And I wonder if anyone would have gave him the advice that he actually took. Run away from God. Go the opposite direction. Would anybody have even made that statement? Absolutely not. I would hope not. That's what Jonah did. And I'm not going to beat up on Jonah too much. Because what I see in Jonah's story is this thing called grace also. We look at the fish story and we look at that as whoa, look at what God, you know, how in a sense how God hurt Jonah in that and how he shook him up and all that kind of stuff. And he did shake him up in that sense. But I want you to look beyond that a little bit. He was thrown into the sea. You ever been thrown into the middle of a sea in a storm? Imagine being thrown in the middle of a sea, in the middle of a storm. Angel and I were on one of those them jet skis, and when he was a kid, we went down South Carolina, and we got on them jet skis, and this guy took us out into the ocean. He said, "You want to go in the ocean?" We said, "Absolutely." We were in this little jetty area. It was nice and all calm, and then all of a sudden, he said, "Well, let's go to the ocean," and we said, "Yep," and we started going, and I had never seen waves on this little jet ski, and we were flying in the air, boom, 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 and all of a sudden, I look back, Angel's in the water. And all of a sudden, I look back and I'm in the water. I look up, down, I'm in the water. And the thing is just going around us and all that. And finally, that's when I realized them life preservers work. Use them. They really work. Please use them, because we were, I don't know how deep that water was, 100 feet, I don't know. But it was a lot. But what was my point? Why did I get here? The waves and the jet skis and I cried on the Lord. I don't know. I'm going to make it up now. I cried on the Lord. I still can't get it. I'm going to tell you what. When you're sinking, you look to God and you say, "Lord, help me," and he will. All right, next point. I'm sorry, I lost my point. If y'all didn't get it, I lost my point. I'm going to move on. If it's that important, the Lord will give it back to me. All right. And this is actually the last point. Making the turnaround, seeking support, you know, getting to that point where just like this young man, as he was taking that road back home to Father's house and all that, and what he was doing in his head was planning. What he was doing before he left and then he was going, it says that he was planning. Look, when I get to Father's house, I'm going to say this. When I get to Father's house, I'm going to do this. So he started planning. And you've heard me preach this message many times before. God's plan, you know, we make our plans and then all of a sudden you see how God, he takes them plans and just throw them right in the wastebasket. Right? I ain't worried about what y'all got planned. I got something bigger and greater, right? But the key is, he still had the plan, right? We still have to make out a plan. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." You struggling with something? And you've been struggling with something? If the only person on your team is you, and you haven't fixed it this far, hello? what makes you think that tomorrow it's going to get better and easier and that you're going to be able to take care and resolve this situation by yourself when however many years you've been here on this life, you haven't been able to do it yet? We need help. And the beautiful thing is God gave us people to help. And like we were talking about earlier, the problem oftentimes comes with this P word, pride. I don't want to show my scar. I don't know if you remember a while back I was preaching back about the prophet who had the scars and was scared to show the scars. And we were talking about mental health. And as we're dealing with mental health, the idea is the fact that if we don't show your scars, if you can't show your scars, there's no healing. There's healing in showing your scars. We've actually been talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 the last few weeks in Wednesday night Bible class. And here's one of the beautiful things that God does. Through the pain that you've gone through, through all of the stuff that you've had to persevere through, while it's not fun, it don't feel good, God gets glory from it. And he can take all of that you've gone through right now and use it to minister to others. Because when you're on the backside of this, 2 Corinthians 1, go with me there real quick. I'm going to close this out. 2 Corinthians 1. I'm going to close it out. I don't see anybody in the foyer yet. All these Roman numerals here. All right. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in what? In what? In what? In all our troubles, or some might say afflictions, all right? That we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction to the comfort that we ourselves received of God. What he's saying is, look, you've gone through pain, you've gone through sorrow, you've gone through some stuff, you've gone through all of that. You know, I want to use all of that to be able to bless somebody else. This person who's gone in the wrong direction, found themselves lost, was beat up by the world, think about this young man that now has this testimony to go back to Father's house and be able to tell everybody about what it is to be out there in that world, what it is to be beat up by the world, what it is to have famine, what it is to now be a rebellious child that left and also found grace in coming back. See, there's a whole lot of stories to be told. There's a whole lot of, not just the bad things, not just my mess ups, but also look at the grace. Look at how good God is. Look at his mercy. Look how he loved me so much that even, you know, he was waiting for me and all that, and he saw me afar off and ran over to me and embraced me and loved me. Here are the plans that I had. And look at what God did. I got a few stories like that. I can share with you even right now. You know, of many times where I have my plans, and God has something completely different and much better. And one of them's right here. You're sitting in one of them right now this morning. This is the God that we serve. And he wants us, go with me, run with me. And I'm just going to say one more thing, too. I'm getting ready to close this down. God is so wonderful and making so many great stories right here with us. Blessing so many people, blessing our lives, enriching us. But how do I say this? It's not for you only. It's not for you only. It's for us to take this to the world, for us to take the blessings to the world. The same comfort we receive, we're all to be giving it back to the world. the same blessings we've received, the joy that we've received, the salvation we've received, all these spiritual blessings that we receive, now we receive it. Yeah, we can enjoy it, you know, but then you got to give it back. You got to give it to the world. It's to be shared, not to be hoarded. Help us, Lord, to share the message and to give it to others. Could somebody please go in the Hispanic group and just inquire for me, please? Thank you. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You know you need to make that turnaround. Yeah, you recognize Jonah. Jonah was in God's will and then decided to run out. You see this young prodigal son who was in his father's will and decided he was going to go somewhere else. And yet both of them had moments of clarity and decided to now turn back to God and do his will. Where are you this morning? Are you on the right road? Are you traveling toward that right road, to that upward calling? Are you on that road that leads to heaven, on that straight and narrow way that leads to life? If you're on that road, amen, rejoice, continue, stay strong, don't waver, bend, don't break, continue walking to gain your prize. But if you recognize today that you're headed on a different road, you haven't made that decision yet, you haven't surrendered completely to Jesus, you haven't given yourself over to him for salvation, this can be your day. Maybe there's one this morning. I'm not sure if the one that's ready yet. If not, we will tarry for her, and I will find out. But maybe there's one amongst us this morning, sitting right here, right now, listening to me right at this moment, and you recognize that yet at this moment, you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have not yet come forward and given your life to him, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, rise to walk in newness of life, and now have been graced with this great blessing called salvation, being part of this great family of God. If you're sitting right here under my voice and still have not made that decision, and you are ready to do so, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to come, to put Lord on in baptism, and be saved from your sins. If you're ready, we're ready. God is ready. The angels in heaven are ready for you. If you're ready, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing.